Welcome to our reflections for this, the Feast of Pentecost. And so we pray for God's blessing as we dive into his word. All those very many weeks ago, on Ash Wednesday, as every year, we are reminded in the liturgy or the reflections that Ash Wednesday is the beginning of a journey which takes us as disciples through Lent and Holy Week and the 7 weeks of Easter. And that journey reaches its destination at Pentecost with the coming of the Holy Spirit, so often promised, so longed for, and with it, the birth of the worldwide church and the empowerment needed for the mission already so much prepared for, and the disciples are in the stocks, ready for the off. In that sense, the language I often use is to say that Ash Wednesday is an opening bracket and the Feast of Pentecost is then its closing bracket. Well, yes, but this year I'm going to take a very different pair of brackets, or perhaps bookends, with a much longer time scale. Not the 14 weeks of our liturgical calendar, not the 3 years of Jesus' ministry, instead a good couple of millennia. In fact, because of the difficulties of dating, that couple of millennia is actually an open-ended time. So our opening bracket is Genesis 11, the end of what we call prehistory, and therein lies the difficulty in the dating of it. And there in Genesis 11, we have the narrative of the Tower of Babel, and in that story, set when all humans spoke the same language, people grew too arrogant and began to see themselves as equal to God. What God can do, we can surely do better. And thus, worthy, they thought of climbing to heaven to touch God's very face. The consequence being that here is the beginning of diverse languages and all the implications of that, of not being able to understand, of not being able to work together. I really conflated this story. The Feast of Pentecost and Acts 2 is then the reverse of that process. Here, the people are not working against God, but for and with God. And not in arrogance, but in humility and service. And so, very suddenly, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, allows them to understand one another and to work together across the language divides. So, at the very beginning, at the first creation, the Spirit's first task, the Spirit's first work, was to move across the waters of chaos, bringing into birth a universe that was whole and joined in love. Then followed 2,000 years where those bonds were broken over and over in ever more complex and damaging ways, damaging individuals and families and communities and structures of communal living and eventually institutions. And we can read about all that through the Bible, in its history, through its wisdom and its prophets, through indeed the very silence of God, not exclusively but most loudly in the period between the Testaments. So that at that first Pentecost, the Spirit's first task, the Spirit's first work, is to mend the disunity and brokenness of the human race that has its roots in Genesis 11, more than 2,000 years earlier. The Spirit comes to help them join hands in bonds of love once more. Join hands first in prayer, hidden away as they were in fear, but then also and finally to join hands across the barriers of language and culture that divide, but which can, as a symbol, stand for all that divides people. None of it is new to you, of course, but it invites us to pray afresh for healing, healing that is needed among people and cultures and faiths and nations, and indeed healing that is needed with nature, nature with which we are so out of balance. Now, there's one more word I wish to explore, perhaps more personally now for us. And it's the word gathered. In the reading of Acts chapter 2, when the feast, the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. Who was? Well, the disciples, having returned home after witnessing the ascension. And what were they doing in that gathering? Choosing a replacement for Judas, yes. But they were also praying and watching for that spirit that had been promised. But alongside that small gathering, out of sight because of fear, there was a gathering that was another, much larger gathering. And who was gathering here? There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven, we read or heard. And then follows that splendid list. The whole of the Mediterranean rim, in effect, the diaspora from earlier exiles. But here's the bit I really love. Pentecost, of course, was a Jewish harvest festival long before it got repurposed by the Christians. And what we see on this day, this first Pentecost, is a harvest being gathered. These gathered Jews from everywhere are the first that are gathered into the kingdom. Since Jesus' ascension, the first harvest, the first gathering. A glimpse of what was to come, a glimpse of what Jesus meant in all his preparation of the disciples for mission in the months and years preceding. And so it has been through what we now grandly call church history. The gathering in the upper room, the gathering for the Feast of Pentecost. And here are we, 2,000 years later in Stuttgart, also gathered. A very, very few in church, and even smaller groups around computers and laptops and online worship and prayer. And our faith in these times has to work harder than usual. The numbers are small, and the glimpses of that first harvest gathering so very long ago. And yet the promise remains unchanging, because God is unchanging. And our time will come, and will come again, for the Spirit's outpouring among us. And meanwhile, we too, like the disciples of old, watch and pray, where neither of these words are passive words. In the watching and the praying come the reflections on creation and the Tower of Babel, the motivations behind those events, and their life force, and all that has happened and taken place since. All such reflections make us more ready. It is not time wasted. So that we too are like those first disciples in the stocks, ready for the off, to see what God will do among us, and then also through us. For harvest here, too, in our time, and in our context, and in our hearts also. Amen.